Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Lamentations. Lamentations. Right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations and chapter 3, and it says in verse 22, and here the prophet, of course, he's mourning, he's going through some difficult times. He says, verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God has never, ever given up on me." Verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We will never wear out the mercies of God. And the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." God is enough. He's all I need. He's the portion that I need in this life. And then verse 25, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I'm standing up in front of these people, an empty vessel. God, I just want the Holy Spirit to take over. We want to hear the word of God this morning. I pray you'd encourage that one that needs encouragement, that one that perhaps is carrying a heavy load. Jesus, that one that has gotten cold, we pray that you'd warm up their heart, that this morning they would recognize again the blessings of God in their lives and in their life. And God, I pray for that one that might be near, but they're not born again. We pray, Jesus, that today they'd hear the gospel and they'd receive Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Halfway through summer. We're halfway through the month of July. Kind of hard to believe. It's hard for me to believe. The only camp that is left is teen camp. And that's not this week. We got a week of rest. Praise God for that. Then we go into vacation Bible school in the month of August. And then the fair. And then Maplewood Baptist Academy starts, I think, September the 6th. And then we're going to have a friend and family day with chicken dinner on the grounds. And that'll be September the 18th. And we're going to try to break all of our attendance records at that time. And then we're going to have old school, and that's the biggest day of the year as far as I'm concerned. It's a Monday, and it's got a wonderful open the windows of heaven kind of day, and preachers from all over the state here, and God bless the workers, all the worker bees, all the laborers. That's a labor of love that work behind the scenes. And by the way, don't worry, we're going to try to bring the chicken dinner in on the big push day, because it's only 2 weeks prior to old school where all of the ladies work their fingers to the bone. I didn't want to do that. Then mission conference, our pie fest. And then we get into the holiday season. So you see, there's no rest for the wicked. We got a lot of work to do because there are souls in the balances. Sometimes you get tired along the way, don't you? Sometimes, oh man, it's old Pastor Rader up there preaching again, and I'm a little bit weary this morning. I don't know if I really want to hear what God has laid on his heart this morning. I want to encourage you. You that are weary and you that are tired, we have a representative in heaven. We have an advocate, an intercessor. If you were to put all your money together and hire the best attorney this earth has to offer, it wouldn't be as good as the representative you have in heaven right now. His name is Jesus. If you search the world through every generation, you would never find a better advocate. We have a representative at the right hand of the throne of God who is representing us today. I want to look at a passage that maybe is new to you and maybe it's not. Praise God for everybody that's gotten saved recently. And some of you, everything I preach is brand new. Praise God for those that have been saved a long time, and you've been here maybe the 43 years that I've been here, and you've heard everything I've had to preach over the years. And like I said, it's almost like there's nothing new. But it's kind of like fishing. You go back to the same old fishing hole because the fish, that's where the fish are. Man, you reel them in and you catch your limit. Take your Bibles, turn to John in chapter 17. John in chapter 17. We can't lose unless we choose to in the battle of life. We're only not in the game because we don't want to be in the game. We're only still on the bench because we don't want to be in there, in the battle. The fact is, because of our great advocate, our great high priest, everything is prepared for victory. And the only way we don't see victory in our lives is we do not follow our great high priest. Hey, I told you to turn to John in chapter 17. We're going to be there. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 very quickly. Hebrews chapter 4. And read about our great high priest. See if you can beat me there. Too late. I'm there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What a God we have. And then read one more verse. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need of help? Are you in need of grace? There is our great advocate, our great mediator, all Bible words, our great intercessor. He is there at the right hand of the throne of God on your behalf and on my behalf. You know what he's praying for? Our best life. He's praying for the most blessings we could possibly contain to the point where our cup runneth over. That's what he's asking God for. If we'll just follow him, if we'll just obey him. John in chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father and I'm intercessing on your behalf. Hebrews chapter 7, and I think it's verse 22, maybe it's verse 25. He's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that is our God. This chapter, chapter 17 of John, go back there now, gives to us insight on what Jesus wants for you and for me. On what Jesus wants for Fundamental Baptist Church and any New Testament church that will follow him. This is the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at some of it here this morning. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not the Lord's Prayer. I know it's been titled that by man and by religions, but that's not the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never had to confess sin. Our Lord's Prayer is found in John in chapter 17. And it takes place. He prayed this prayer sometime between the Last Supper and Gethsemane. It's like God just opens the window or the doorway to heaven just a little bit so we could hear our Savior pray. The Holy Spirit of God just kind of allows John and inspires him to write down the exact words that our Savior Jesus prayed in his hour of need. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for those who were going to be yet to come, those that were going to be his disciples. That's you and me. In John in chapter 17, insight to what Jesus wants. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. It's time. He knew why he was sent to this earth. For almost three and a half years now, he'd been ministering. He'd been mentoring. He'd been preaching and healing. Discipling. Now things are ready. He's in Jerusalem. The Last Supper has been finished. He's on his way to Gethsemane that final night. He's about to be offered as the Lamb of God on Mount Calvary. He lifts his eyes towards heaven and says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? Can you imagine the oneness and the fellowship between heaven and earth at that point? Verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Here's one thing. Here's the big desire of Jesus. That everybody get saved. That everybody would be born again. 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verses 3, 4, and 5. Would you turn there real quickly? 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verses 3, 4, and 5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And the fact is, God wants, this is his one desire. This is his big, all-consuming desire. This is the very reason he came down to this earth. This is the very reason he took on the robe of flesh and became the God-man and lived for 33 years on this earth and then allowed mankind to nail him to the cross. He came to pay the ransom for our sin so that we could go to heaven. Praise God for everybody that's been saved. Praise God for everybody that you have won to Christ and I have won to Christ and everybody that is through the ministries of this church have been won to Christ. And it has been a soul harvest. It's not always a soul harvest like it is apparently right now. But in the last 2 months, I wrote this down. I don't know of everybody that's gotten saved here, but there were 8 saved at a graveside service this last week, 18 saved at Junior Week 2 this last week, 22 saved at Junior Week 1 2 weeks before. There were 4 saved. 4 saved individually that I led to the Lord outside the walls of this church and the direct ministries of this church. And I know of others that have led others to Christ as well. That puts over 52 people born again in the last 2 months. That is big in heaven. That is big to God. That's why God sent his son for those people that have come to Christ. It is a wonderful privilege. And God, Jesus, praying the Lord's Prayer, said, God, I would that all men be saved. That's why I'm about to do what I'm going to do at Mount Calvary. So the desire of God, if you're here this morning and you have never been born again, God's desire is that you would become part of God's family. Amen. He's done all the work. He's done everything that needs to be done. And it wasn't done in a church house. It was done on a hill called Mount Calvary. And he shed his blood there on that cross that sinner man might be redeemed, that broken man might become a child of God. But as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God. It was done there at Calvary's mountain. Propitiation was made for our sin. The blood atonement was made. He paid the ransom for our souls. We are redeemed when we get born again. God wants you saved. Listen, God, if you're listening by way of radio or watching a live stream or here in the auditorium, God wants you in his heaven. That is his uppermost desire. He did everything that needed to be done. All you need to do is come unto him. Just call upon him. And you'll be born into the family of God. I'll help you do that in just a moment. It isn't nebulous. It's real. And it's a one-time event where you're born into the family of God. I'm going to get off of that now. Verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. You might want to remember that. Thine they were, and thou hast given them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They believe God's word. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's the highest compliment. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now he's praying here. I covered a lot of ground there. I know that. And there's a lot more than what I'm sharing as far as his prayer is concerned. One of the things he prayed, he's kind of like he's bragging to the Father and says, these men that have followed me, they have kept thy word. And I read that just this morning. Just this morning, this came to me. I read that and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I know the disciples failed God. What does he mean? They weren't perfect, and then it hit me. Jesus provides the perfect. All he's looking for us is to follow him, is to believe him, is to be faithful. Jesus provides the perfect part. That's why we need a Savior. That's why he has come. I failed God so much. I, you know, I, I, Anytime I'm in my prayer closet, I'm reminded of times I have failed God in the recent past. And I have to come and I confess those sins to God. And I just hold on to the grace of God and hold on to the mercy of God. And I'm reminded again and again and again, Jesus provides the perfect part. Man, that's wonderful. Man, I'm a member of the family of God and I'm not perfect. And there's no excuse for sin, and God doesn't make any excuse for sin, but he paid for my sin. He said, you know, he made a way for me. Number one, he wanted to get everybody saved. Number two, he says, I'm praying that they would be unified. You know, it's tough for brethren to stay together. Do you know that? Look at verse 13. I got all the way down to verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So I want to verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And it's hard to stay unified, isn't it? It really is. It's hard to stay together. But that's our calling. And there's a perfect Son of God at the right hand of the throne of God praying for us and our unity around the truth, around the Word of God here this morning. And it's really easy for you to perturb me, and maybe even easier for me to perturb you and kind of set the thing going in the wrong direction, and we just kind of repel off of one another instead of helping one another. The psalmist said in Psalm 133, it's good and it's pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Multiple times in the Lord's Prayer, in John in chapter 17, Jesus says to the Father, God, they're going to have trouble. Father, they're going to have trouble. Keep them unified. I am praying, I'm asking you, by way of your ministry, by way of the Word of God, by way of the Holy Spirit, by way of what I've provided for them, you unify them. Just bring them together. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to talk about the receiver and those that gave, that kind of thing. I'm not going to do that because it wasn't meant that way. But there's a brother and two other brothers, three brethren that were led by the Holy Spirit to provide a love gift for another brother in the church. He didn't ask for anything. He wasn't looking for anything. He doesn't even know who these brothers' names are. They're sitting in the auditorium this morning. He has no idea. And I got to be the delivery boy. I basically told the one guy, I said, you know, sometimes there are some things a pastor gets to do that's very enjoyable. And you have three brothers in this church. I don't even know if you really know them real well at all. And then don't even try to think of who they are because you don't know who they are. But this gift is for you. It's from them. That's brethren. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's a unified around the truth and being led by the Holy Spirit of God. I've got to do that kind of stuff so many times in this ministry because we're together. None of us are perfect. And all of us are gonna disappoint a brother or a sister from time to time, sooner or later. That's just kind of the way it works because they're not perfect and you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And Jesus said, God the Father, Father, would you keep them together? Just hold them together. There's a great work that needs to be done. Look at verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. The point is this. We need, our world is in need of the joy of the Lord. And the most attractive thing we can bring to the world is the joy that they see in our lives because we are blood-bought and born again. Because we really do know where we are going. And it really doesn't matter how hot the fire or how deep the water is right now in this life, we still have the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God says, I want them, let me use a modern word, I want them happy. God, would you help them to be happy, these that are following you. Look at verses 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Let me read 14 first. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Listen, it's the will of God that you get born again, and after you get born again, you spend some time here on this earth. Not that you have to earn God's love. You already got it. You're already a joint heir with Christ. You're already born again. But it's that you'd reach your neighbors, that I would reach my neighbors and people I rub shoulders with, and I would tell them about Jesus, and that they would see the joy of the Lord in my life. They would understand that there's a good God in heaven, and that we would stay together. We would stay united. That's a church, staying united. You know, I know you know this, but Fundamental Baptist Church is not a perfect church. And if you're looking for a perfect church, you're looking for a reason to leave, you might as well leave right now. We're not perfect. We're not. And for you to think your little family is perfect, you are probably the height of audacity. You know, because you're not. We are still sinners saved by grace. But we have a great intercessor, a great advocate, a great representative, a great high priest. Mega high priest. And he's there on our behalf. And we got to see his heart here in John in chapter 17. I want him saved, Father. God, I want him to be one. I want him to be unified. I want him to be happy. I want them to have the joy of the Lord. Verses 15 and 18, I want him to stick. I want him to stay by the stuff. I don't want him to be that flash in the pan. I want them to stay faithful to God. Verse 18 of chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The world hated Jesus. They're going to hate the family of God. That just goes with the territory. Please understand that. And just stay by the stuff. If you're weary, and if you're tired, just know this morning you have a great high priest. That's right. And he is representing you well. And your every need, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, are met in him if we just follow him. Say, not a lot going on in my life, preacher. I don't even feel like I'm in the game. You don't want to be in the game then, because he has made the way for you. And he's praying on your behalf. Another thing, I just got three more real quick things here this morning. He wanted them to be, and he prayed for this, that they would be different than the world, that they would be separated, that they would be, we like to use the word separatists. I got to explain that word to somebody here this last week in their home. They didn't quite understand what I meant when I said separatists. We don't think we're better than anybody else. And I'm not supposed to stay away from people around me. I'm supposed to go to them. I'm supposed to minister to them. There's nothing wrong with the boat. The boat is meant to be in the water. There's nothing wrong with the church being in the world. But the water's not supposed to be in the boat. There is something wrong when the world is in the church. So we are to be separatists. We are to be different. We're to smell different. And talk different and walk different and think different, different thought process. And we're to go out into the world and we're to harvest. We're to rub shoulders with people. Salt is wonderful. It's a wonderful preservative. It's a wonderful seasoning. But if it's just in the shaker, nothing ever gets done that way. You know, we got to go out and reach people and impact the world. And at the same time, be blood-bought, born again, not of this world, saved by grace kind of people. And reaching them with the truth. They're to be separatists. Jesus said, I want them to be biblicists. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then he says, one more thing. Let me read the rest of this prayer, and I'll wrap it up with this. Verse 21, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now comes the pinnacle of the prayer. Father, I will that they do, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He's saying, Father, I can't wait to show them heaven, to show them home. My mind went in 100 different directions this morning when I was reading this text. Remember in the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember the disciples that were there, and they saw Jesus, and they saw Moses, and they saw Elijah? And we sometimes use words and we don't think them through. We just kind of get used to saying them. Transfiguration. They saw Jesus, the Son of God, in his glory. That's why they said afterwards, we got to build some tabernacles. Jesus said, no. There's a work to be done. You don't need to be building three tabernacles. They actually witnessed our Savior in his glory. Man, how that impacted them. You read that text. And Jesus said, I want them to have that glory. I can't wait to show them home. For some of us, we think this earth is our home. When we get to heaven, I promise you, as a Bible preacher, you will not be disappointed. In fact, you'll probably come up to me and say, you did a poor job of preaching about heaven. And I'll say, I know it, boy, don't I know it. Man, the scripture says, Paul said he saw things that were not lawful for a man to utter. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him. God's heaven is waiting for us. Some of us, we have loved ones already there. What a grand reunion that's going to be. You know how you got something and it's not good unless you're able to share it with someone? Can you imagine getting to heaven? How about seeing one of your loved ones? Hey, you got to see this. You got to see this. Come. There's going to be so much. You cannot imagine. I scribbled some things down. They're not new. I've preached some of these things before, but I know this. Heaven is mentioned 327 times in the Word of God. And it's a real place. Unspeakable words. Revelation chapter 21 tells us that heaven is 1,500. The holy city, not all of heaven, but the holy city is 1,500 miles square. That is a city like this world has never known. If every level, it's 1,500 miles high too. Do you realize the Rocky Mountains themselves are less than 3 miles high? And yet you can see them hours before you get there. Can you imagine this city that is 1,500 miles high? Can you imagine the approach? My angel is bringing me to heaven. Can you imagine? And I see the glow in the distance, and then the city comes into view. Can you imagine? Do you know how far away we're going to be able to see the holy city? If every level, and I don't even know if there are levels. Mine just goes wild. But if it's 1,500 miles high, I got to believe there's levels. And if every level was 15 feet tall, which I'm not, but just for sake of argument, there'd be 528,000 levels to the holy city. Man, this place is going to be huge. Jesus said, between the Last Supper and Gethsemane, God, I gave them the gospel. I'm providing for them now. Save souls. Dear Father, help those who get saved to stay together. Help those that are saved and are together, may they have the joy of God. Lord, help them to stick and not turn tail when things aren't going their way. Help them to be separatists. God, cause them to be biblicists. Lord Jesus, I can't wait to show them heaven. He says, right, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he says at the end of the prayer. I sure do love them. God, would you bless them? They're mine. I'm yours. They're yours. We'll be one. What a thought. Kind of scattered this morning. Wasn't a well-prepared message. But you heard truth. And I trust this morning, if you're here and you're not born again, that you'd come to Christ. Jesus is praying for you. Right now, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, our great high priest, our great advocate, our intercessor. You tired? You weary? Pick up your chair. There's a God in heaven. He's on your side.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.